Hi there, this is Loria Chews of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So today's business audio comes about subsequent to a great discussion I had with a fellow canine rehab professional in regards to frequency of visits, or at least your recommendation for frequency of visits. So essentially, I came to think that there are likely times when we could all be recommending either more or less in regards to follow-up appointments. So I basically thought I would give you some of my thoughts on the matter for today's audio training, and hopefully it generates a little bit of discussion as well. Okay, so first off, I want to talk about after the initial assessment. So the client has come in for the first time and you've assessed the dog, and I really think that we need to be getting these dogs back within a week. So ideally a week, maybe no more than 10 days, but really they've got to be coming back soon-ish for a few different reasons. One, hopefully you're going to be able to see the improvement and that they can see their improvement and you can, you know, discuss it with them as well. That, you know, this is what we did, you know, this is what we found, this is what we did last week, and look at that, you know, he's already standing a little bit better on that leg or whatever. I think it's also important because you can then sort of do a bit of a double check on your diagnosis. So was what I thought was going on, and the problem that I was addressing, is, does that seem right? You know, was there an improvement after we treated based on that? Or is there something that I have to look at or think outside the box now to try and sort out? It may bring up that you need to change your plan, or perhaps the dog got better quickly and you need to progress your plan, is another thought. And sometimes you can find new layers of the onion. So you treat a few things, and then it either becomes apparent that, oh, here's a couple other things that have shown up, or perhaps you some of the secondary things dissipate and go away, and now you're looking at this dog and going, oh, okay, here's the big root of the problem, here's the big nasty thing that I actually need to address this as the root. And then lastly, or perhaps most importantly, I think is that it helps to build the bond between you and the client. And it's absolutely critical if you want that client to buy in to you and your services and what you're recommending for therapy, you need to be able to establish that relationship. And so in which case, the sooner you can bring them back and either point out, okay, look at here, he's doing that much better from last time, or you say, okay, I really was hoping for a little more improvement this time. Let's have a second look at what's going on. Or perhaps you just say, or perhaps it's even just to say, you know, this is typically what we see, you know, that it's going to take a couple of weeks before, you know, you see a reduction in pain and whatever, that elbow, or just throwing it out there. So it's a reassurance for them as well. But I think you need to see them quite soon after that initial assessment in order to build that bond and to maintain them as a client, because I think that's a critical juncture for building that and maintaining that client. Okay, so then post-operatively, I would say you want to be seeing those guys twice a week, maybe three times. Three times might be, I don't know if you need to see them three times. You certainly could, but I would say for sure, you know, twice a week makes the most sense. Less than that, you're just kind of you're helping them along. You're likely doing a little bits and pieces of something, but to make the greatest impact, you need to be seeing them at least twice a week. So the post-ops, I tend to recommend twice a week until such time when we get them and they're doing well, we've discharged them from underwater treadmill, or perhaps we've taken them from half and half. So they're doing half underwater treadmill and half what I call boot camp or neuromuscular rehab. And in which case, if they're doing the half and half, I still want them. I think twice a week makes the most sense. But if we then have discharged them right out of the underwater treadmill because it's not challenging enough, then even if they're coming once a week, I think it makes a difference as long as the owner is dedicated with doing some of the exercises that you're testing and coming up with, and the owner's doing some of those at home as well. Okay, so my post-ops are generally twice a week. Now, if you have a neuro case, and of course this is going to pertain to, I guess, an outpatient clinic. So if this is a neuro case and you're in hospital and the dog is in hospital, then by all means, you know, see that dog every day. But in the case now where the dog is gone home and the owners are bringing them in, I think you really want to see those again 2 to 3 times per week to have the greatest impact on improving their function and capitalizing on return to function as it occurs. So if you're seeing them at that frequency, you'll be able to pick up and change and adapt to their improvement as they occur. I think that's quite critical with those ones. And again, there's always going to be exceptions to the rule, but I would say that would be your ideal, is 2 to 3 times a week. Okay, so now let's say you have a soft tissue injury, so a tendinosis lesion or a muscle strain. And that, depending on how bad it is, so 1 to 2 times per week. So if this is an acute injury, twice a week would certainly help for it to feel better faster. If this is a tendinosis lesion, then, you know, even if it's just once a week, if you're doing laser modalities, whatever, manual therapies, and progressing the exercises, a tendinosis lesion needs specific exercises. So if you're progressing those, then for tendinosis, you really could get by with once a week. More of an acute injury, twice a week makes the most sense. So that's how I tend to approach those ones. Okay, next I have my osteoarthritis patient. So in these guys, I would like to see them 1 to 2 a week until they improve. Okay, until we start to see some improvement where it's like, oh my gosh, it's great. Usually the owner's telling you, oh, this is fabulous. He's, you know, we went for our full walk again. And the owner is just tickled pink because you gave them their dog back, basically. At that point in time, then, is when I would slowly start to space out their treatments. So I'll have clients say, now, so what should we do? Are we just, you know, should we discharge? Can I, you know, leave it for a while? And how I approach that, I usually say, well, you know, you could. If you wanted to, we could just let you go on your merry way. You know, you've got your nutraceuticals and whatever else you're doing. You know, you could leave it, and when he gets bad, you come again. But then we're going to be looking at another round of intensive therapy to get him back to this point. I would tell them, what seems to make the best improvement with these dogs is if we can come to a point where we find their prime maintenance spot. Right. So let's say they've been coming once a week and it's like, okay, you know what? He's been doing great. Let's take it to every 2 weeks. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, you know what? You just call me. If you need to get in sooner, you just call me and we'll sort something out. But let's see how he does going, you know, waiting 2 weeks. So we can do that. And if that was like, you know, he was good. Alrighty. You know, are you ready? You want to try going for 3 weeks now? Oh, I'm not sure I want to do that. Okay, let's do another 2 weeks, and if everything's good, then we'll jump to the every 3 weeks. And I usually take them out like that, so that we find the point that works for that dog. And in which case, it's wonderful because it becomes very owner driven. So the owner is empowered to decide, when does my dog need to come in? What is the frequency? And they tend to drive the bus in regards to, we need to come every 3 weeks. You know, we tried 4, but I didn't like it. You know, the last 3 days he was sore. You know, whether or not that's true, whatever. It's still fabulous because then they are empowered to make those decisions on what works best for their dog. And I think that's great. So that's how I treat or work with frequency for my osteoarthritis dogs. And then the last one category that I put in here was my dogs that have spine, rib, sacroiliac joint problems. So a lot of my sporting dogs, for example, or just the dogs that really what I'm looking at is joint problems. Okay, so especially my spinal joint problems. And so with those ones, what I have come to find is that I want to see them within 10 days to 2 weeks. So especially my sacroiliac joints, that's what I have found to be the key number, is that if their sacroiliac joint can stay in place, or rather pain-free, for within that 10-day, 2-week ballpark, then they are usually okay. They are going to stay in place unless the dog does something crazy, you know, trips in the field, has some episode where they put their sacroiliac joint out of place again, or their spine, or whatever. So those are the guys then that I kind of say that's the frequency. Let's check back in 10 days to 2 weeks. And if everything's good, that's great. You know, maybe we'll find something different. And we just want to make sure that everything stayed in place. Now, with that comes some of the considerations that I would look at. So what ties in there right off the bat is the owner's dog knowledge and eye for lameness. Okay, so especially in my sporting dog people. So I've got a lot of these within my caseload. And because they have such a fabulous eye for lameness, anyways, most of the ones that I see, have a great eye for lameness, that they are picking up on subtle movement imbalances, that those guys, I might tell them, you know what, I expect your dog to be better, you know, better back to normal within 2 days at the most. And if he is not, then you need to book and come back in. Okay, so that high-end sporting dog client, those ones are the only ones I might make an exception to the rule. Whereas any of my regular dog owners, I usually want them back in that 10 days to 2 weeks. Unless they are, really good on their picking up their eye for that. Or sometimes you have the ones where it's, they brought them in just for a checkup and you found something that's like, oh my gosh, look at this first rib, it is so painful. He's throwing them through the roof here. And they were like, wow, I had no idea. I wouldn't have known that by how he was moving. Those cases I might say, you know what, let's just check on him in about 10 days. Make sure that has stayed where it should. Because sometimes those ones, the problem and what they're showing is so subtle that even the really dog savvy people weren't picking it up. And not to say that I would have picked it up by movement either, but I did pick it up with the palpation. So that would be one consideration. Now, a couple other considerations, or breaking the rules here, would be, certainly financial constraints or the person's ability to get the dog to come to you for rehab or physio. And whether, with either of those scenarios, I always like to present the options, okay? I give them the options. I call it the good, better, best. There used to be this home improvement guy on TV around here that Shell Buzzy, and he would talk, he's like, oh, here's this special kind of concrete sealer, and he would tell you, this is the good one, this is better, and this is the best. And so he would always tell you good, better, best, and really whatever worked for you, you could go out and purchase. And I kind of use that when I'm looking at my recommendations for frequency. So, if I know there's financial constraints, but even if I don't, I might tell the person, they're like, well, okay, so what, when should we come see you again? I said, okay, now, ideal would be twice a week. You know, that would make the biggest impact. However, we could still make an impact if we were doing it once a week, and you have to be diligent with your home program. And if that just doesn't work out with your lifestyle or anything for whatever reason, then what I would recommend, I'll do a treatment today, but what I'd recommend is I'll give you lots of home program. You are on the hook for doing all the exercises, all the home program. You've got to do this. And maybe we'll check in, whether it's next week or let's check in 2 weeks or whatever is going to work for them. But, you know, you really, you need to give them the options, because there have been ones where I've thought, oh my gosh, you know, here's this young couple, and you know that, you know, they both have minimum wage jobs, or one's in school and the other one's working, and it's like, oh my gosh, they must be, you know, eating macaroni and cheese every night for dinner, these poor kids, you know, I'll be assuming that they really can't make this work in their life, and they're the ones who say, okay, twice a week is what he needs, we'll come in twice a week. So really it's just a matter about giving them options. Tell them what you can do, you know, and let them make some choices with that. You know, I'm not going to tell them you have to come twice a week or it's worthless, but I will tell them, you know what, that will give you the best benefits. I had one client just yesterday that, you know, husky, and he had extra capsular repairs for his cruciate injuries back in May. Both of them failed. He needed to go for TPLO surgeries. So one was in August, early August, and the other one was just about a month ago in September. So this poor dog has really been having pain for quite some time now. And he has adapted to, you know, he's almost like a trained circus dog where he can almost walk on the front legs. You know, and the owner's like, oh, okay, so, you know, what would work? You know, once a week or less than that? And I said, yeah, you know, I said, what would make the biggest impact right now? I said, because we have more to work on than just his strength. I said, we have strength to work on, but I said, we have his mindset to work on. Between his ears, he has to believe he can use these legs. He's been in pain for a long time. And not that his joints showed pain when I assessed him, but you know what? There is the, oh, in humans, we would call it the psychosocial aspect of pain management. And I think that's what's going on. He hasn't bought into using these legs, and he's not believing that he can use these legs. And we need to get him not only using them for strength, but so he can believe in them and start to do things, so that all the walks he does at home are actually going to be using the muscles, and every time he goes for a walk, he's going to be building those muscles. Okay. So in that case, you know, I did talk him into twice a week to make the biggest impact. Fortunately, his wife is there, and she's a doctor, and she's the one that said, you know, Scott, let's just go with the twice a week. She's right. So that was good. Okay. Now, and again, too, if the problem comes with the ability to get the dog to your physio sessions, what about drop-offs? Have you considered that maybe, even if you're not set up with a full kennel situation, but could you do a crate? Could you provide a crate that the dog can rest in? One of the staff members can take the dog out to potty. He can, you know, be out for his therapy session. Maybe there'd be another time in the day when he could just kind of, whatever, walk around the exercise area, or someone could take him for a walk around the building, or anything like that, but just a drop-off and charge for it, because it might not be something that you've thought of. I mean, maybe that's what your entire practice consists of, and that's fine too, but just as a thought, okay? And other considerations might be distance to travel. So if this client lives an hour or 2 hours away, then really you likely are providing a good deal of home program, and in which case that's what you focus your time on. You might be doing a laser session or something then, but you're going to have to be giving lots of home program, lots of a detailed written home program, and try and figure out, now, when is it going to be manageable for you guys to get back to see me? And the other thing to pay attention to is your availability. And I know I get caught with this too, because I travel so much and teach so much, that my availability is sometimes a problem. But in those cases where it's like, you know, this, you need to come see someone, I said, it is, you know, there'll be one times where I say, it is more important that you come in to be seen than it is to wait for me. I said, I want you to see one of my other therapists. I hire fabulous therapists, and I trust them. So I would like you to see one of my other therapists. I don't want you to wait until I get back home. So that might be looking at, are there components of the therapy that your assistant could do, or that somebody else within the clinic could do for that dog, that in the same scenario, that it's better that they get treated rather than waiting for a whole period of time when you're not there. So that's another way to look at things, or a thought process. Okay. Now, with all that, some of you may be realizing that you are over or under prescribing your own services. I always like to think of my end goal to be, one, to discharge or complete the therapy to a logical end point, okay? But also, number two, to maintain the client-patient for lifelong checkups and maintenance. And at the end, I want them to be both, the owner, to be both empowered to help their dog, but also hooked on me and my clinic. And the only reason I mention this, and this may seem maybe to the vets and the techs out there, this may seem like it's, well, yeah, you know, you definitely want them as a lifelong client. But I bring this up because it is different than how I was taught as a human physio. I was taught that our goal was to discharge the patient when everything was complete, get them to the point they are functioning again, discharge, period. And, pardon me, and in hindsight, that doesn't even make complete sense on the human side. There's so many things. I say there's no such thing as a normal human. We all have something that's wrong with us somewhere. There's something that physio can always be helping. So I would think that we likely had that wrong on the human side too, that we really need to think about things as more than just this treatment episode or this injury, I don't know what you call it, not session, conglomerate of sessions, but this one grouping of therapy. And we need to look at this as, I am your partner for life. I am helping you with your dog for as long as you would like my help. There are things that I can do to help you throughout this dog's life, and or in the case of a human, throughout your life. So I think we need to think about that. Another point that got me thinking that I wanted to bring up was the new grad phenomenon, or the student phenomenon. And you know what, I gotta be honest, I don't know if this just applies here or not, but I find it fascinating. So a colleague of mine, human PT, once told me that she says, oh, you know what, whenever I have a student in the clinic, okay, so the physio students also have to do internships, she says, my clinic caseload drops. She says the students, they don't bring the clients back soon enough or often enough. And she says, because they don't know any better. And it got me wondering, are we doing this too? Okay. And the reverse could also be happening, but I just want to bring that one up because I found that really fascinating. To wonder, you know what, are we doing this? Are we not bringing them in enough? Or is the flip side of that where it's like, oh my gosh, I think if I could get this dog in the underwater treadmill five times a week, that he'd be better. And maybe that's too much. Maybe we're not giving enough home program. So that's just throwing that out there as a thought. And another point, okay? I think we also have to pay attention. And this from, again, it's a change for me to these realizations, is that when a person is bringing their dog in for physiotherapy, they're scared and they're nervous, and this is their fur baby, okay? And they need you, okay? Especially in the early rehab stages, to quell their fears, to help guide them, to reassure them, to praise them, to be the person they can lean on, etc. So I think this is important to realize this and to be or do these things for our clients, okay? That to recognize, you know, they need us, especially in that first period, you know, and even when you get close to discharge. I've got lots of them who are like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so afraid, you know, what if something happens? You know, you call me, I am here for you whenever. We can put you onto a maintenance schedule, and I can check up, you know, if you want. I can, once I discharge them, I say, you know what, if you want, let's check in a month, and we'll see how you're doing. Okay, that makes me feel better. Good, you know, so just to realize this. Alrighty, so I would urge you then to take a look at your trends from a business perspective, okay? And just go through maybe the last month or 2 months or three to look at what is your average time between initial assessment and first follow-up, okay? Just to get an idea, what's your baseline? And does that look reasonable or not? What is your drop-off rate, okay? Or another word for that is attrition. So are you losing clients? And then to look at that, does that attrition rate tend to correlate with a certain time frame within their therapy? Okay, does it correlate with, okay, the clients that didn't come back for their second follow-up before 2 weeks' time, they're the ones we tend to lose? Or does it tend to happen in dogs that have been coming very, very frequently and maybe they got burnt out? Maybe you just didn't change things enough, or they thought, man, this is never going to end. We are just coming twice a week forever and ever and ever and ever. Nothing is changing. And they've burnt out. They stopped coming. Or does it tend to happen when you have spaced their treatments a little too far apart? And maybe they're feeling that, you know what, I don't know if that service is really necessary. I don't know if I need to be coming because, you know, how much can once a month really be helping my dog if, you know, we're looking at this and they're not seeing the changes. So go through your books. I would just urge you to go through and even if it's just for a month and pick out some of these to put actual numbers to the frequency at which you're seeing some of these patients in, and not just, and then even if you can break it down further to say, okay, what am I doing between my initial assessment and my first follow-up and my second follow-up, and looking at what am I doing with my post-ops compared to my osteoarthritis, and see if you can come up with some kind of a baseline, I guess, for where you're at, and maybe, and just maybe, you might find some trends. Certainly when we looked at our stats, we definitely found trends that the dogs then that hadn't come back for their first follow-up within 2 weeks, they were more likely just to not come back. Dogs that we started to see spaced out more and more in that early stage of rehab, they would drop off too. So we need to pay attention to that and advocate. Okay. Oh, I know the last thing. Boy, this is getting to be a long audio, but hey, presumably you're listening to this on your car ride into work or at the gym, so, or while you're making supper. There, that's nice. I hope I didn't lose that train of thought. Oh, I did. Okay. Alrighty. I had to press pause for a minute because I honestly did lose that train of thought that quickly. Okay, now I've got it back. The last point I wanted to make was to practice your conversation. Technically it's a sales pitch, but I know that doesn't sound warm and fuzzy. But practice your recommendations out loud, okay, so that you can sort of, so it feels natural. I don't want you to be ingenuine or lacking in authenticity. I want you to be genuine in what you're recommending, but I think sometimes we feel guilty about recommending what is best because we fear that, oh, the other person's going to think we're just in it for the money. So is there a way then that you can work on this so that your recommendations come from your heart, that it's like, okay, you know, Alrighty, so with this case, what we've seen is that the post-op cruciates, they really do the best. If we can see them in twice a week, those guys seem to do better faster. But if that doesn't work for you, then we can come up with a different plan. So for me, that's how I tend to look at it. When I came up with looking at it like the Shell Buzzy, good, better, best, and presented it to people that way, I didn't feel bad about it because I knew that I wasn't giving them what they called hardball, right? I'm not hardballing them and saying, you've got to come in twice a week. I am presenting them with this is the best. But I also want them to know that if that doesn't work for them, I will still help them. Help them in whatever capacity I can, at whatever frequency they're able to do for their dog. So for me, that was how I worked it out. And when I sort of came up with that as being my signature, here's how I present this to the client, then it took the feeling of guilt off of me that I didn't want them to think that I'm just prescribing twice a week because for financial, because I want to take all their money. But it was genuinely what I thought was best, but that I was open to working with them in any capacity they could. It just felt better. And that way I can still be very authentic. So I would urge you to practice making those recommendations and practice out loud. Sometimes just hearing yourself say it and say it over again and tweak it just a little bit so that when the situation arises, it rolls off your tongue and it's natural and it's genuine and it's you. Okay. So anyways, these are just some ideas to get you thinking, and you know, this would be a really fascinating topic to do a survey about and see where people are at with their recommendations. So, gives me an idea. And anyways, I hope this helps you. I hope this gives you ideas. Certainly feel free to send me questions or give me your feedback on your thoughts on this. I would love to hear that. And until next time, cheers!